this week and next week really grabs a hold of your heart, because it's important. And you're going to get brought up to speed on our partnerships and various ministries going around that are around the world. And the theme for the next couple of weeks is just off the mat. It's sort of an idiom about getting out of your comfort zone or familiar territory. And we all have some kind of internal map that has hard and fast boundaries. And these maps have real edges that, for one reason or another, consciously or unconsciously, you refuse to cross. Some of them are artificial. Usually, we create boundaries in our lives out of fear. But they have a real geography that dictates your movements, your travels, your decisions, your assessment of risk. They determine on a regular basis just how far you will go. And we get locked into patterns of familiarity in simple ways and in significant ways. Some simple ones are, like, there's foods you just will not try. There's restaurants you just will not go to. You go to three in your whole life, and there's 9,000 around here. You know what I'm talking about, because it's me. Places you will or won't go, not going there. Not even thinking about it. When you exercise, it looks the same all the time. Your walk, same route. When you bike, same route. Distance, same. Experiences you just refuse to participate in. Well, some patterns are a little bit more significant than others. Like, for instance, your character and the willingness to be able to say something other than, well, that's just how I am. And that'll never change in me. That's a significant edge. Or you might, something else, maybe a little bit more spiritual in nature, like, I want to feel close to God. I do not want to develop a consistent prayer life. I would love for God to speak to me, but I'm not going to read. Or I want God to use me, but I don't ever want to feel uncomfortable. Those are hard edges that really make a difference in your life. I'm reading a book called The Prisoners of Geography. It's all about, just absolutely fascinating stuff, and I'm not really a history or geography kind of a person, so everything is just exciting to me to read. And you look at various nations, and it shows how their history and their destiny are shaped by geography. The land which we live, in which we live, shapes us. It's always shaped us. And it helps us understand the world. And I'm learning things about Russia and Ukraine and other countries. You know, how the Arctic limits Russia's military ability to be a more global power. How China's limits without a global navy, how it impacts them. Africa's isolation and its impact on them. The speed at which Europe spreads across the world because of their flatlands and their navigable rivers. Geopolitics affects every country and the decisions that a ruler finds himself having to make. What we're talking about today is all the limits we place on God and ourselves. And we just always tend to gravitate towards safety and comfortability. And then that gets a little monotonous. And it can frustrate a spiritual life. You become predictable, or maybe just go ahead and say it, your spiritual life's a little boring. I don't know if you've ever heard of Larry Walters, but I read an article on him on July 2nd, 1982. He was sitting in a Sears lawn chair in his front yard. And he said to himself, I really need an adventure. And so he attached 40 helium balloons to his lawn chair. Armed only with a pellet gun, let loose. And before he knew it, he was 16,000 feet high. He started to not be able to breathe. And he got a little surprised at how high he went, because he didn't think that was going to happen. And he wasn't the only one surprised. A pilot from Southwest Airlines radioed the tower and said, some guy's in a lawn chair floating in our airspace. So he started shooting out the balloons and landed about 45 minutes away, because he was in San Pedro, California. He landed in Long Beach. And, of course, it catapulted his life to some degree. He got onto some commercials and the Late Show and became a motivational speaker. And when he was asked why multiple times why, he said, well, I had to do something. I just got tired of sitting around. I thought that was amazing. That's a nutball right there. I'm not advocating that. Listen to this, though. From the very beginning of our calling of Christianity, we as followers of Christ in the church were called out beyond our comfort zones and beyond the familiar. We were all called off the map. And there was a real geographical component to our lives. There was a spiritual one and there was a physical one. A calling to move beyond boundaries into uncharted and undiscovered territories. Think about the calling when Christ would say, follow me. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you're used to. Leave all that stuff behind and follow me. Or when we were called on mission in Acts 1:8. I can't have you staying here in Jerusalem. I need you out. I need you to go all the way to the ends of the earth. In other words, Jesus was saying, I need you to go until you can't go any further. Or in Matthew 28, go into all the world. In the Old Testament, there's a great picture of this, Israel wandering around in the wilderness. And of course, their life got monotonous. There was all kinds of misery associated with their unwillingness to go anywhere God would lead them. So, of course, it became safe and familiar like it does for all of us. And God had so much more for them that they died in that. And Joshua finally has to get a whole new generation of people to get them to cross the Jordan and to enter Canaan. Just past that watery boundary was a land to claim, battles to fight. There were giants to kill. There were promises to have made real in their lives. Joshua and Caleb were the only two remaining from there. And at one point, they get over there, and the land, Joshua starts parceling out the lands. And Caleb, who was an old friend of his and a fellow spy, had now turned 85 years old, and says, I want a piece of that action. I mean, if you guys have the thing up there, can you put the slide up for me, the first one? This is what he says in Joshua chapter 14. Moses swore on that day, this is Caleb talking, I'm going to get land. Wherever your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. I just want you to notice in this text the spiritual part, you've wholly followed me, and the geographical part. I need you to actually go somewhere and do something. They're together, the spiritual and the geographical. In other words, your heart is attached to your foot. And they go together. It's a powerful image. Next verse. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, I was 45 years later. Now I'm 85 years old. One more. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then. For war and for going and for coming. This is the phrase we've looked at before. The coming in and the going out phrase used in the Old Testament. This is a great phrase. It's literal and metaphorical. It's basically a way of saying, I'm still alive, I'm still active, I'm still moving. Because remember, in Deuteronomy 31, next verse, you'll see in verse 2, this is when Moses was at the end of his life. He said, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. And the Lord told me, you can't go over this Jordan. There's a geographical line you cannot cross. I'm done, is basically what that says. So it's a real geographical marker. And Caleb was just saying, I'm not just going to sit here in my lawn chair. And then verse 12, the first line of verse 12, the next verse. So give me this hill country. I want that hill country. And I just want to say a couple of things to you about that. God really can't do anything great with anyone with only half the equation. I love coming in. I love the safety of, you know, where I live. Coming in is easy. You say to God, you know, God, I'm staying put. You can come to me, Lord. Bring it all to me. If you leave out the other half of that equation, the going out, there's a whole part of your spiritual reality can't ever come to life. Verses 14 and 15, you'll see, therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb. Caleb got Hebron. Because he wholly followed the Lord. In the next verse, which I love. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, the giants. And the land had rest from war. Basically, Joshua or Caleb got a piece of land that had the biggest giant. He said, I want that one. Give me Hebron. Give me that place. And they renamed it. Because of him. So you say, what are you missing if you never cross some of these boundaries? And I will tell you, it's a real discipline and part of your spiritual life to figure out how some of the boundaries you've set up in your life about where God can take you and where he can't. Personally, spiritually, relationally. There's a real geography to those things. Wherever he leads you, it's usually off the map. It's usually out of comfort zone. But it's off the map that you will learn new things about God you never knew. You could never know them. Where you're used by God in different and even miraculous ways. And your personal experience with God and your trust expands. And you have your own stories. Your own stories. Tim Hansel says, you turn theology into biography. Everything you know about God becomes something you've lived, becomes active in your life when you cross those boundaries. And I will be honest with all of you to say, I can only talk to you about this because that's the way I set up my life. I was just recently having a conversation with my wife. We were sitting on the couch. I don't know how we got on the topic of, you know, self-discipline and predictability in life. And I said, I don't think I'm that predictable. And my wife said, oh, no. You're one of the most predictable people I've ever known. And she literally said to me, I know where you are every hour of every day. Tell me what day it is and what time it is, and I know where you're at. And I said, really? Is that my life? She said, it is. So I know exactly what it means to be this guy. But God put Gail in my life, who has no boundaries whatsoever. He put Oscar in my life, who's never heard the word boundary. And then Kirk, one of the craziest people I've ever known. He put those three people in my life. And since high school, they've been pushing me out of my little comfort zone. And I'll tell you what, scariest trip I ever went on, most scared I ever was, when Kirk invited me to northern Iraq when ISIS was taking over the city. And we were 30 minutes from Mosul when ISIS overtook it. I got to sit in a room with 15 guys who were displaced, had run from ISIS, brought their families, left every single thing they had. I got to sit in a room and was asked to share something with the guys who sat there unflinched, regretting nothing, with absolute nothing but confidence in God with just their family and nothing else in a place they didn't live. That'll do something to you. I met a priest beaten multiple times for his faith. Exuberant, enthusiastic, undeterred. I have held in India and prayed for and loved on and served lepers in a leper colony. Kirk sent me to Ecuador one time to speak to a group of people from Samaritan's Purse. This was years ago. He said, I can't make it. I'm supposed to speak this weekend. Will you do it for me? I said, I'll go. He said, you can take your dad. I took my dad. We went to Ecuador. And I spoke this weekend and traveled with these folks different places and got to meet some of the Auca Indians who killed one of my heroes, Jim Elliott, when he was on the mission field. I met one of the men who killed him, converted now to Christ. One of the highlights of my entire life. In Cuba, I met Pastor Carlos, who loves that country as much as anybody's ever loved a country. They stoned him, left him for dead in a street, put him on house arrest when he got up. For a year, couldn't leave his house because of his faith. When the year was up, they came and got him, and they said, you can leave the country right now and be safe. We'll give you freedom. That's when Cuba wasn't letting anybody out. He said, no, I'm staying because I want to reach this country for Christ. You've never met any. That's where I met the family who walked 17 miles through what looked like Amazon terrain to me to meet with some families for church and walk 17 miles back every weekend. These are people who live off the map, and it's very commonplace for them. Off the map's comfortable for them. And you know, I have grandkids, you probably have them too, and they're gonna ask you one day, is it okay to go somewhere? Is it okay to cross some boundaries, Grandpa? Is it okay to give a little more than you think you could handle or sacrifice a little bit? Can you trust God out there where you can't see and there's no chart or map for where you're going? Can you do that? Does he provide in those moments? Is it really fulfilling to give your life to others? I read Hebrews 11 and it, all these men of faith, and it's just worth hearing, and I'll close with this. What more can I say? For time would fail for me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. Listen to the geography. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. This is my favorite word. Wandering about in deserts and mountains, dens and caves of the earth. Wandering about. You can't have a heart that doesn't have a new geography to it if you're following God. Father, speak to us today. There's got to be some lines we've been unwilling to cross and some adventures you would love to send us on, one way or another, whether that's going or sending someone, even attending a lunch, something off the map.